is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. You know, Pastor Ken and I have had this subject on our hearts for a while, but the Lord told us to wait till it came closer time to Easter, Resurrection Day, to talk on the blood. So we're going to dive in this morning. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to take hold together against with me on this word, to bring it to you. And you're going to, how many come expectant this morning to receive? Come on. Expecting to hear God. Amen. Don't let things distract you. Don't let people distract you. I mean, I know you have kids. You know, some of you have kids. That's one thing. But don't let circumstances, your stomach, but only focus on what God has for you, because he has a word for you that's going to change your life. It's going to bring wholeness, deliverance, and healing. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you right now. We honor the blood of Jesus this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood. We honor the precious. There is no other blood that is more precious. There's no blood that is precious but the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. And so, Holy Spirit, we come and ask you, teach us this morning about the blood of Jesus. Teach us the power in that resides in it. Teach us to know how important and how precious this blood is. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Teach through me. Have your way through me. Speak through me the life of God. Speak through me. Bring revelation, understanding, grace deposits, and truth impartations. As I open my mouth, fill it and bring it directly into their spirit. Let it change and impart to them the power that enables them to know and believe and have faith in the blood to deliver them and make them whole. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, I was thinking on the blood of Jesus and asking the Lord what he wanted me to share. And you know, something when I was in Bible college changed my life. And it was when I heard about the blood of Jesus and all that Jesus did for me through that blood. And a lot of people, they don't understand. And in our society today, we hear about blood, we see blood, and we're like, you know, we tweak out, we freak out a little bit. Because to people, blood is scary. But I'll tell you why people get that way sometimes. Because there's life in the blood. Without the blood, you don't have life in you, right? I mean, your spirit too, but I'm saying in the physical body, there's life in the blood. We know it's important. We know the significance of blood. It means something important. Am I right, church? Come on. All right, I want to hear you this morning. So in that, I was, you know, the Lord brought me back to when I was a kid with a friend of mine. I don't know why we know this or how we heard about it, but I remember that we were wanting to make an agreement. I can't remember what it was, but the Lord reminded me of this. And I've never been fond of needles, okay? That's never been fond of needles, but I remember a friend of mine and me and a friend of mine, we were going to make an agreement. We were going to make a pact. And so we were going to cut our finger, you know, or poke it with something. And we're going to go like this, say, I promise that I'm not going to, you know, that I'll be your friend forever or whatever. I don't even remember what it was. It's been so long ago. But I remember, the reason why I remember is because, like I said, I don't like needles. And so we had needles. And I'm like going, barely poking it, you know, and I didn't want, I'm like, ow. And she's like, ow. You know, and I'm like, but it hurts, you know, and so I'm like poking it, and finally just, oh, find there's a little blood, you know, so anyway, but I remember, and you just do this little thing, and you're like, I promise, and I remember this younger generation, they're always doing pinky swear, right, I don't know if anybody have heard that, and I don't know what that has to, with the pinky swear, I don't know where that originated from, but I do know, I knew as a kid, I don't know where I heard that from, but then, you know, it meant something, that if you drew blood and that you made an agreement with that, then it meant something. Do you guys ever hear anything about that, or is this something new to you? Okay, it was just interesting, even as a kid, right? Well, the Bible, what I'm going to talk to you about today is the blood covenant of Jesus. The blood covenant of Jesus. So the blood consists of an old, or not the blood, sorry, the Bible consists of an old covenant and a new covenant, an Old Testament and a New Testament, right? Covenant in the Old Testament means to cut, or literally it means to cut until bleeding occurs. Cut until bleeding occurs. In ancient times in the Middle East, it was very prominent, it was very a very common thing that they would cut a covenant with somebody to have an established agreement. Now, see, we have a contract usually that we have all the agreement come, you know, is on a piece of paper, and then we're signing our life away, right? I mean, buying a house, car, whatever it is, it's a contract that we have that is drawn up, and then you sign it. Well, back then, cutting covenant was their contract. Cutting covenant in the Middle East, back in the ancient times, that was their agreement. It was a binding agreement. It was a forever binding agreement. And so I remember in Bible college, I was in this class and it was talking on the blood covenant. And man, when I heard this and I learned so much about, see, back in those days in the Middle East, very important types and shadows and symbols. Symbolism is very important in their beliefs and in the Jewish culture too. So everything that they did had a type or a shadow or a symbolic thing to their what they did. And so, you know, God knows that, right? Church, He knows all things. He knows our culture. He knows how to speak to our culture and through us so people will understand. And so when I heard this and I was in Bible college and I was getting all this, I began to cry. Because I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus, you did that for me? You did that for me? Because I'll tell you what, I struggled with who I was as a young person. I struggled with not feeling good about myself, not being confident, having a low self-esteem. But when I knew Jesus loved me enough to cut a covenant with God Almighty on my behalf that I could never do, but He did it for me so that I could have all that He desired for me to have. It rocked my world, church. It rocked my world as a young woman who wanted loved and accepted to feel special and treasured. It spoke to me, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to give you a quick history lesson of what it was to cut covenant, okay? What they did, what the procedure was, and there was 9 parts, 9 steps usually into cutting a blood covenant. They usually did this between 2 individuals, or they did it with families. Usually the man would represent in that culture that family, so they would cut a covenant between families. The men would come on behalf of their families and say, "Okay, my family you represent your family. And we're in covenant together." Tribes would do this. They would cut covenant. And they wouldn't just always do one covenant. Sometimes they would come across other tribes or other families, and they saw things that would be a blessing to them. And they're like, you know what? We have this to offer you, and you have that to offer us. Why don't we cut covenant? And so they would do that. So sometimes there was one. Sometimes there was more than that. But they cut covenant with one another because they had things to offer. Now, you're going to see some similarities in this as we go about it, as you would in marriage. Because marriage is cutting a covenant. It's forever binding in God's eyes, forever binding. And it means something. You know what I'm saying? It's not to be flippant. It means something precious to God. And you'll see. Hallelujah. So, real quick, the history lesson. And I might have Elijah help me with this, because he's right there. And he's easy to pick on. The first thing is the 2 people, when they would come into this covenant agreement, they would have robes. Each person wore a coat or a robe, and that coat or robe represented them. It had different symbols on them, maybe colors or how it was, but it represented them. So when they started this blood covenant, they would first exchange robes. They're saying, "This represents me, I give it to you." And they would do it vice versa and take that coat and take that robe in exchange to say, I'm representing me, and here, I give it to you. Then they would take off their belt and then they would exchange it. The belt held knives, it held swords, it held weapons. They would have a belt and it would also cinch up things and keep things kind of together, right? So they had this belt and they would exchange it, representing, hey, whatever I have to protect you, what I have to protect you, I'm protecting you, and vice versa. They would say, whatever I have. So the two individuals would exchange what they had in being able to provide protection for them, okay? And then the third thing is that they'd cut a covenant. Okay, now Elijah, I need you up here for a minute. Just follow my lead because I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it. I knew I was going to probably pick on him, though. He's used to improv, so it's all good. Yeah. So anyway, so when they would cut covenant, they would stand, you can stand on the opposite side right there. They cut covenant. They would take an animal and they would sacrifice an animal. They'd kill the animal. They'd cut the animal in half. And then they would have them on opposite sides like this. And in the middle was the blood that was shed. Okay. And so they would stand opposite. Okay. And they would walk around and walk through this offering. So in like an eight shape. Okay, yeah, yeah. So you come. So we walk through like this, and then you go around like there was another, like the, you know, they're split in half. And they would pass through this, pass through the blood. That's right, thank you. They pass through the blood, and they would say, while they're passing through this, they'd say, may God do so to me and more if I ever break this covenant. They would both declare that. Whew, wow. Okay. You can stay right here. I might need you for a second. I'm not quite done. And then after they cut covenant, they would raise their right arm. Yeah, he has coffee this morning or his rebel. They would raise their right arm and then they would cut their palm. They would cut their palm and they would grasp, they would clasp hands like this. Okay. And they would have this agreement like this. And they would say, oh, and this would be, they would be becoming one because they were intermingling their blood and they would do this and they would say, we're becoming one. Okay. Okay. That's good. You're good. Thank you. That's the two things I wanted to give them illustration. Then they would exchange names. They would take the other's name and incorporate it into their own name. Okay. Then they would make a scar. Sometimes they would just leave this to scar, or they would do something that was outward evidence of showing that they were in a covenant, okay? Because I'll tell you what, when people came up to you and maybe they didn't, or they were wanting to deal with you not in a nice way, or they're wanting you to get out of their way, or they're wanting to steal from you, or they're wanting to do something, man, back then all you have to do is if you had scars, you would do this, and they'd be like, oh, okay, so I'm not just dealing with you. In other words, I'm dealing with maybe another covenant person that could come, maybe even a tribe. I'm telling you, they might have four or five different tribes that they're in covenant with. And so they're like, okay, you come against me. This represents I'm in covenant with people and you're coming against them too. And so a lot of times people are like, okay, maybe I'll just pass on by. Because I don't know who you have in covenant with. It could be warriors. Because a lot of times, warriors cut covenant with farmers. Because they needed their food. They were great at harvesting. They were great at planting and creating food. And so they would cut covenant so they would know that they would always have food. And if they ever needed protection, those warriors were like, we're on it. So they would cut covenant. It was a forever binding agreement. And that's something. Wow. They took covenant seriously. Then they would give terms of the covenant in front of a witness. They would give their terms of the covenant. And it was all their assets and their liabilities. They would name off before the witness of what they had. All their assets, all the benefits, but also the liabilities. But they were willing to take them on. Because a lot of the liabilities were things that the other tribe could probably help them with. So they named all their assets and all their liabilities and saying, everything I have that you could gain from is yours, but I also have liabilities that I need from you to help me with. And that you have to know that right up front, this is where I'm at. And they would go over that and they'd list them and then they would continue on. Then they would, after that, eat a memorial meal. And this would be, they'd each have a loaf of bread. They'd break it. and they would hand it to each other. Sometimes they would actually break a piece off of the loaf of bread and they would feed it, saying, "This is my body and I give it to you." And they would do it vice versa. Then they would take a cup of wine representing their blood, and they would each give that cup representing it was their blood, and they were drinking, partaking of the other person's blood, saying, "This is my blood. This is what I give to you." And vice versa. They exchanged that. You guys understanding me so far? Okay, good. And then after that, they would plant a memorial tree. They would plant a memorial tree, and they would take some of the blood from that sacrifice that was shed, and they would sprinkle it over the tree. Then that was there as a memorial to say that they were forever in covenant. Isn't that good? All right, Hebrews 8, 6, and 7. Now, I didn't say that just all because it was a cute little, oh, wasn't that just a nice little covenant agreement? No, there's power in it. Jesus knew, the Father knew, what they understood back then. And he was going to speak into their life how much he meant in what he did for them by speaking their language of covenant. So in Hebrews 8, verse 6 and 7. Oh, I forgot to give my scriptures. Oh, I do? Okay, I did give them. I'm so good, I forgot that I put that list there. Dang. Right on. Okay, so Hebrews 8, verse 6 and 7, it says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless or without fault, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault, you know, with people and with the covenant, he said, 'I'm going to make a new covenant with them.'" Amen? So that's where it began, him establishing a new covenant with his people. And you can go on and read it. It talks about what he's going to do in that new covenant, write on their hearts and all that good stuff. And there's another scripture I'm going to read about that later. But but with that whole thing of me showing you the little history lesson of what they did with the blood covenant, is because I wanted to go through now and I want you to see the similarities that we have in the blood covenant of Christ. All right? So with our covenant in Christ, we have exchanged coats with God because of Christ. Jesus and God, they entered a covenant on our behalf. All we have to do, church, is walk through the sacrifice. Walk through the blood. Come on. Walk through the blood and partake of that covenant. Amen? Because there's no one greater that could enter covenant with himself but God and God. Come on. He entered covenant with Christ on our behalf. There's no other covenant that's been greater than this covenant. So with that, the first thing is we exchange coats with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:24. Come on, if you listen, God's going to reveal things to you. 5:24. Oh, 2 Corinthians, I'm in first. Oh, that's not good. Says this. Did I say 5:24? 5:21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus." So Christ, who never sinned, became sin. That's what one translation said. So that we could become the righteousness of God. There was an exchange. We give God our filthy rags of sin, and he gives us a robe of righteousness. Whoo, come on. A robe of righteousness. We say, "God, here's my mess. Here's my disgust. Here's my sin. Here's my filth. But I received this covenant," and he said, "Come on, take on my robe of righteousness. Take on my righteousness. Take on having a right standing with me. You can come boldly because of my covenant, and you can come into my throne and ask of me and seek my face." Whoo! All because of that blood covenant. Wow, we honor the blood. Amen. We honor that blood. He takes our sins upon his own. In exchange, we take up his holiness and his righteousness. Second, Jesus takes off his belt and he gives it to us. And he says, I will provide protection for you. We exchange belts. He takes off his belt and says, the belt of truth and everything that I have, I give to you in providing for you. If you'll receive it, if you will receive it from me, trust me in it, know that I mean what I say. It's forever binding. That's yours today. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 6, it says in verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. When you have that around you, securing everything about you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. If God is for you, who can be against you? Come on. He's given us the victory. Amen. God says, I will be your provider for protection. In Psalms 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No power can your foe withstand against you. Though 1,000 at your side, right side, no harm shall come nigh your dwelling, so on, so on. But read that. That's a powerful passage. That's a powerful chapter right there. And in Psalms 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort and they guide me. So in this covenant, he provided protection. In Luke 10, 19, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, look, I have given to you authority in this covenant over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions. Now, he's not talking literal, but I mean, you know, he's talking about the enemy. Types of the enemy, snakes and scorpions, and crush them, for nothing will injure you. Wow. And then he goes on to say, but don't rejoice in that you have that, but just know that that's there. I mean, focus more on that you're in this covenant of life with me. Amen? That you're in, that you know Christ, and that you're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. But he still said, I've given you a power and authority to tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you or injure you. So he came to provide that. Then Jesus cut covenant with the Father God. Except he says, walk through this. Walk through this with me. Jesus, we took Jesus's hand. We walked through it. We passed through the blood. And now all God sees is the blood. That's all he sees when we come. He says, oh, yep, there's the blood. That was taken care of. They pass through the blood, a forever binding agreement. Amen. And he made that commitment to us. He said, forever, I stand true to this covenant with you. Today, he's saying, forever, I stand true to my covenant. I will honor it. I will always honor it, children, he says, my covenant with you. If you will believe what my covenant says and you receive it by faith, I will honor it. I will back it up. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Shows this in the Amplified. I think I'm just going to read it from the Amplified. 10, I was going to read it from the New Living, but the Amplified in Hebrews 10, 14 through 18 says, for by a single offering he has forever completely cleansed and perfected or completed those who are consecrated and made holy. And also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this. For having said, this is my agreement, my testament, my covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts and I will inscribe them on their minds and on their inmost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breaking, I will remember no more. No Now where there is absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of the penalty of these sins and law-breaking, there is no longer any offering made to atone for sin, because it is done. Signed, sealed, and delivered, it's yours. Hallelujah. Signed, sealed, delivered, it's yours, church. Belongs to you. He says there's no more sacrifices needed. It's done. No more. Then it showed that they raised their right arm and mixed the blood, right? Well, Jesus was both man and God. He was holy and also human. And as we have the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to our hearts and into our life, his blood cleanses us from all sin. And we are also made holy. His life intermingles with our life and cleanses us. Whenever we ask Christ into our heart and into our life, he creates a new heart. We are made new, it says. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. That life is in the blood and it mingles with our lives and has cleansed us and made us new. Because there's life in the blood. Ha ha ha. Then they would exchange their names. Right? Well, Jesus took on, when he came to this earth, he left his deity on earth and came as a man. He was called Son of Man. Took on our name, Son of Man. In exchange, we are now called Christians, which means Christ-like ones, Christians. We took on his name. Amen? We are Christians. We exchange names. Then they had the scar, right? They had the scar that represented they were in covenant. Well, Jesus has scars in his hands and in his feet and on his side from the cross, right? From that blood that was shed. And now we have a scar or something that gave evidence to the world around us. And what is that? It's not something we can see with that's in the natural, the physical, but it's a circumcision of the heart. God changes our heart. Have you ever noticed, like, people, has anybody ever said this to you after you came to Christ? They're like, so what is it about you? It's just something different. There's some evidence I'm seeing that's different about you. What is it? Maybe you saw it in somebody when you first learned about Christ, right? Maybe the first time you came to the Difference Church, because we're different. You know, what was it? There's something different. There's an evidence seen in your life because of the change that Christ has done in your heart and in your life. It's a circumcision of the heart. In Romans 2:29, it says that. Let's look what it says in Romans. It says, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. No, true circumcision is rather, it's a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise only from God and not from people. After we come to Christ, we still have to walk this out and have to tell the enemy no, because he's constantly tempting us. But we change from caring what people in this world think to God, what do you want for my life? What are you doing in me? What are you saying? I want your praise, you know, and I want to seek after you and what you want, your approval, not people's in this world. Amen. Circumcision of the heart changes a person's life. Circumcision of the heart. It's a cutting away of the worldly ways of the flesh. And sometimes it's a process because we continue to grow. But the initial thing that God does in recreating your spirit to be like his spirit, right there, there's evidence of it. Amen. Then they gave the covenant terms. Well, the Lord gives his covenant terms, church, right here. This is the covenant. All the terms are in this Bible right here. Whatever God says you can have, whoever God says who you are, you need to listen to your covenant terms. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to fear. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. What does your covenant say? He says, I created you for more, church. He says, greater am I and the Spirit of God in you than the things in this world. Amen? So he created you for more. Stop listening to fear. Stop listening to discouragement. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy. And listen to the covenant that God has given you. And he says, if you will listen to my covenant, I will honor my covenant. You are precious. You are my prized possession. You are anointed. You are gifted. You are more than a conqueror. You have the victory. Rise up and be who he's called you to be. Honor the covenant that God placed with Christ. Honor it. Honor the blood, church. Honor the blood. Oh, Jesus, the precious blood. It was given for you. It was given for me. Every person who receives that, it's rightfully theirs. God says it's for all those who will receive it. Who will receive and partake of that covenant? All of us. So good. He didn't leave anyone out. No one. It says that God desires all come to repentance. All come to repentance. Does everybody? No, because the end of the book says no. But he desires all, and his heart grieves. But that's his will, that all come. So he desires all come and enter in that covenant with him. That life-binding agreement that he will honor. Jesus is a true man of all men. And he was a sensitive man, and he was a loving man, but he was a powerful man. He knew who he was. He walked in peace. He walked in authority, and he walked in honor. He honored his word. He honored covenant. Amen. He's protector. He's provider. Man, if there's anybody that you can look to as a good example, it's Jesus, our Lord. Oof, so powerful. He will honor his word. Then they ate the memorial meal, right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. Woo, Jesus. Covenant talk. Jesus was speaking covenant to them. These people in the Middle East, these people in these days knew covenant. They knew. And so here comes Jesus saying, we're going to eat a last supper together. And when he began to do this, can you imagine that his disciples, their ears were perking up and they're like, this is covenant talk. This is covenant. What's he doing? There's no sacrifice. This is covenant. Not yet there wasn't a sacrifice. But Jesus was paving the way, church. Look at this. In chapter 11 and verse 23 through 26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On that night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he said, here, this is my body, which is given to you, given for you. Do this to remember me. See, he was breaking covenant. He's like, this is my disciples, this is for you. This is for Katie. This is for Steve, for Cindy. Take, eat, this is my body that is going to be shed for you. Partake of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, and this is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. And an agreement confirmed with my blood. And they're like, huh? I'm sure they're kind of like, I hear what you're saying. This is covenant, but still no sacrifice. But do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Come on. But you know what, church? They recognized after. They recognized that covenant term. Then they planted they would plant a memorial tree, right? In that covenant. Well, the cross planted with Jesus' body on it, shed blood over that tree for you and for me. And to this day, The cross is a memorial, speaking forever of what Christ has done. He shed his blood and he said, this is for you. This blood is for you. Amen. I remember I used to have a shirt that said, instead of this blood is for you, it said, this blood is for you. Glory to God. I'd rather have the blood over a bud any day. Come on. I won't have side effects. Jesus, but only good things. Hallelujah. Come and drink of him today. Amen. Hallelujah. That cross is a memorial tree for us today. We're to be thankful for the amazing blood covenant in Christ. There is life in the blood. See, Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. They had a law back then that you do not eat blood. You don't eat flesh with the blood in it. You must drain all the blood out before you partake of that flesh to eat the meat of the sacrifice. And they said, because there's life in the blood, so therefore you don't eat the blood. There's life in the blood. So he said, partake. So when they were mingling blood, they were mingling lives. So our life is mingled with Christ's. We are one in Christ. Amen. We are one in him. Hallelujah. The day that Jesus shed his blood for us, our hands mingled with his hands. In other words, we shook hands with God because of Jesus and said, I accept this covenant. I accept you, Jesus. Father, I accept Jesus. Thank you for this covenant. I'll forever live for you. What do we have to give? Our lives, ourselves, our heart. Amen. Our praise, our dedication to him, to serve him, to love him. We give our lives to partake of everything he has for us. Anybody who has kids knows that it would hurt you if you had all these good things for them and they didn't want it. No, that's not, it's too good for me. No, I can't have that. No, but I want you to have it, please. I want you to partake of this food. No, no, it's just too hard out there. I can't have that food. We'd be like, take the food. You know what I'm saying? Take my blessing. Take these clothes. Take this provision. You know, I want to give you a hug. No, I'm not. I don't deserve it. I've done too many things, Mom, Dad. Nope. I don't need that hug. But I just want to love you. I want to embrace you. I want to let you know you. Nope, nope. But church, what do? We do that to God. And his heart grieves because he goes, I cut a covenant. It was a pricely price. I cut covenant with my own son for you. And yet you say no. No, not good enough. Nope, can't have it. Can't have your love, can't have your acceptance, can't have your provision, can't have wholeness and healing, and can't have peace, can't have joy. Nope, nope, I'm not good enough. Oh, come on, church. Come on, let's receive the covenant. Let's receive it. Let's give him our junk. Let's give him our discouragement. Let's give him depression. Let's give him fear. Let's give him all these condemnation and guilt and sickness and give him the lack that we have. And then receive all of the assets and benefits that he has in exchange in that covenant. Come on. Let's honor the blood today. Let's honor the blood of the covenant. And be determined to believe and receive everything that Christ did for you. No more. No more sin. It's been cleansed away, washed away. Not just covered like they had to do, like Pastor Ken said last week, with animal's blood. But it has been totally washed away. You are forgiven. He does not see that anymore in you. He only sees the blood because we passed. When we accepted Christ, we passed through that blood, and that's all he sees. Whoo, that's all he sees. Woo, glory to God. Let's stand up. That's all he sees, church. So God gained our assets, which basically our only assets we get is from him, right? So he gained that, but it was pretty much from him that he gave us the ability and the things that we do have. He gained our liabilities. He gained our debts. He gained our mess. He gained our junk. In exchange, we gained his benefits, his assets, his love. Whew, His grace, His mercy, His healing, His restoration, His forgiveness. Mm. Only good did we receive. You know, a lot of people in there, they're like, wow, that's a bad deal for God. What does He get out of this? He gets His kids. Wouldn't you almost do almost anything for your kids? Almost. He gets His kids. He gets His kids back. He gets His kids to love them, to pour into them, to give them the best that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So, to the world, it seems like this is a crazy deal. It's not a good bargain. But yet God accepted it. He desired it. He wanted it. And He said, I will do it. Jesus says, I will do it. And with that, I leave you with one scripture, and then we'll be done. John 15:13. And I'm going to go back up to 12. But Jesus is speaking here, and He says, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Verse 13. For there is no greater love. And Jesus was on His way to be a sacrifice after this passage. A little bit later on here, it says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You could say it this way. There's no greater love than one to lay down one's blood for one's friend. Come on. To lay down their blood, their life. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down the blood in covenant, His love, very life for you, that you would take up the benefits of the covenant that He cut with you. Amen. So with that, I thank God for the blood. Amen. We're going to honor the blood this morning. I just want just to take a minute before Brent comes up. And I just want to honor the blood. I just want, just thank Him right now. Just lift your hands, surrendering all, saying, I surrender all, and say, Father, thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for the blood. Thank You, Jesus, for the blood that was shed for me. Thank You, Lord. We worship You. Thank You, Jesus, for the blood that was shed for me. All my mess, all of my discouragement, all my hopelessness, all condemnation, all guilt, all the things I've done and I keep doing sometimes even. But You took it. You took it in exchange to tell me, I've given You the keys to the kingdom. I've given You my righteousness. I've given You my forgiveness. I've given You my love. I've given You my hope, my high intense of expectation to be all that I've called You to be. I've given it all to You. Just take it, receive it by faith. Hallelujah.